Well, the Joyous Church of God. 2 hours of contemporary worship service. Yeah, that one won't work. Fellowship with the Church of God. Friday night services only. No, that won't work. Faithful Shepherd Church. 3.5 hour service with no breaks. No, that won't work. The Gathering Place Church. 2,000? Oh, no, no, too many people. The whole...
Oh, Bruce!
Yeah.
Hey!
What
are you up to?
What do you mean, what am I up to?
It looks like paper's on the floor, and you're mumbling, and can't quite understand what's going on. What are you doing?
I'm shopping!
You're shopping?
Yeah!
You don't look like shopping to me. You could at least have your computer in front of you on Amazon or something, but you're just ripping and tearing.
Well, I didn't think of that.
You're shopping.
Yep.
What are you shopping for?
I'm shopping for a church. Duh.
Shopping for a church?
Yeah.
Well, how are you doing that?
Through this here Myron's Church Shopping Catalog, I got the $14.99 over the
Bruce.
Spoke about. Let me tell you, you can get it today. You can get it fast from Brian Coombs Enterprises.
Well, Brian, that's a new one. I didn't know about that. So, Bruce, you're church shopping. Why would you be church shopping?
What do you mean, why would I be church shopping?
Well, you have a church hopping catalog in your church shopping.
Yep.
What are you doing that for?
Well, because, believe it or not, I saw a sign.
You saw a sign?
I did.
Well, you saw a sign.
I saw a sign from God.
Oh, no. Wow, now it's really getting crazy. You saw a sign from God.
Uh-huh.
So what was this sign that you saw?
It said, C-H blank blank C-H. Well,
I didn't quite get that.
I'm a little slow.
Could you do that again? If this is really from God, I want to make sure everyone sees the sign.
Sure.
Could you get this again?
C H blank blank C H.
I know what it is.
What's missing? Well, there's blanks.
Well, that's what I was talking about. And so anyway, so it said you are. I said,
you are?
Yeah, just like that.
You are?
Yes, that's what I heard. That was the voice of God. You said I was missing from a church.
Oh, Bruce.
Well, you see, I've been really busy lately, just so that you know. Like, I tend to taking care of things in the community. I'm busy.
Oh, you're doing that habitat thing, huh?
Well, yeah, that's volunteer for that, but then I take care of things at home with my wife and with the children. And then, of course, you know, people call me for different things. I don't have time to go to a church.
Bruce.
What?
What? Bruce, do you even have any idea what the church is or what a church is?
Of course I know what a church is.
Well, what is it then?
It's a place where Christians go on Sunday to hear and see their friends, to find out a little bit about what God's doing in their lives, and to stand up, sit down, and listen to the pastor talk for an hour.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you gave me an hour. That's good. That's a good start. But Bruce.
What?
I sense some hostility here, but...
You keep on saying my name, but you're not saying anything!
But Bruce, the church is so much more than all those things you just mentioned. I think you and maybe some out here have been misinformed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think maybe misinformed. So I just was wondering... You said I have an hour. That's what you said, an hour. So would you mind if I would sit with you for a little while and maybe help you get a better understanding of what the church is?
Not at all, Doug. There's always plenty of room at the table.
And Jesus said that one time, too. So, yeah. And it's a great question. In fact, we heard that earlier. I don't know if you were here earlier tonight. There's this gentleman, real tall guy.
I was listening.
Yeah, you were listening. And he asked the same question. And he tried to give us, you know, an idea of what the church is not. And I really want you to understand what the church is so that you are able to participate, so you're able to engage, and just really excited. And
well, I'm not making any promises.
I know. And I was thinking about how we could do this. You're still ripping stuff out. So we're going to need some help, kids, to clean this up in a little bit. But before we do that, Bruce, I want to... The other day I was on Facebook. I'm only on it once or twice a week, just so you know. I don't want you to get any thought. So, and I saw this video. Watched this video. And I think it'd be a good video to show. Yeah, and I think it would help you get a little better idea of what the church is.
Well.
Okay, so.
I'm all for it.
Okay, let's watch.
No promises, though.
Yeah, no promises. Our technology around here sometimes don't always work, but we're going to try. So, Jelena, if we can pop in the video. And, Bruce, I need to make a disclaimer before she starts playing the video, because it's going to come up. But just, you need to know that the church, or I, am not a Philadelphia Eagles fan. So it was very hard for me to use this video to say it, okay? But I think it makes a very good point. So go ahead, Jelena.
I can only give the praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving me this opportunity.
I mean, glory to God first and foremost. We wouldn't be here without him.
Unbelievable. All glory to God.
Separate journeys led them to the NFL and the Philadelphia Eagles. They sought an outlet to come together and created a way to share their faith.
When chapel for us here, but in the NFL, since our Sundays are taken up, you can't go to church. So we had the opportunity to attend chapel, which is like a small church service, and we're able to get our word in.
On every Monday night, we have a couples Bible study. We have a Thursday night team Bible study, and then Saturday nights, we actually get together the night before the game and just kind of pray, talk through the word, what guys have been reading, what they're struggling with, and just kind of keep it real with each other. To have that here in an NFL facility like this, it's really special.
How important is it for you to use your platform to glorify God?
I mean, it's huge. Our number one goal on this earth is to make disciples. That's the only job that we want to do. So faith in football this Sunday is huge. It's the platform that we have to draw people to the Word, to Jesus. It's something that we don't take for granted by any means. It's obviously a responsibility, but we love it.
The major thing I found out is they're regular people. Okay, how much money you give them? Okay, how much fame a person has? If they don't know who they are inside, it really doesn't matter. Really, what I preach to the players is that football is a platform. It's not your purpose.
Faith alone in Jesus is what leads to salvation, and then the works come out of your salvation. See, Christianity is the only religion in the world where you can't earn right standing with God. You can't earn heaven. You can't earn your afterlife. You can't earn good karma, whatever other religions think. It's the only religion in the world you can't earn it, because it's already been earned. Jesus already earned it. It's all about accepting Jesus, and that's it. Don't miss that point.
Thanks, Selena. Yeah, Bruce, I'm talking to you here, but I'm talking to us all right now. I had 3 Philadelphia Eagles fans in my house, so and another one sort of became one because she had to be with her kids. So anyway, it was tough being a Redskins fan here in my house. But all that aside, the Dove offices that were part of the network of churches we're a part of is located in Lititz, Pennsylvania, which is sort of toward Philly. And so a lot of the Dove pastors in that region are Philadelphia Eagles fans too. And so we heard, I heard a lot of stuff, got a lot of messages about that. And it amazed me over the probably the 2 weeks surrounding, so before the Super Bowl and in the week after, maybe the 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, of how people became consumed by being a part of this thing that really they weren't part of at all. When it comes, I mean, they're Philadelphia Eagles fans, especially ones that have been fans for a long time and haven't been part of them win the Super Bowl. But everywhere you would go, you would talk to Eagles fans, and they would just be, and they were watching YouTube videos like this one, especially the Christian Eagles fans. They were, you know, watching the parade that happened. They just felt like they were part of something that was much bigger than themselves. And I feel like they were as much at, like, Carson Wentz's best friend as Carson Wentz's best friend. Like, you know, who was a quarterback, those of you who don't follow football, who was also a believer. And so, you know, people just felt like they were part of this thing. And it was a powerful thing. I mean, when you were sitting listening to people talk, it was powerful. And I started to ask myself some questions, like, why do people want to connect with something like this so much? And I thought of several different things, but it really, just made me step back and think. And then I thought, wow, you know, we can look at this. I can take two ways with this video. You know, what's happening there with the Eagles? Jesus says to go, make disciples, baptize, and teach. They're doing all three in their training facility. It's pretty powerful. You know, the church is happening right there, and that's pretty powerful. But the Eagles as a whole aren't Christian. The people are. Some of them are. But yet people want to identify with this. And I thought, wow, we as people who love Jesus, as Tom Reardon said earlier tonight, we're part of something so much bigger than the Philadelphia Eagles. And yet I heard people, and I'm, please hear me here. I've never heard people talk about the church the way they talked about the Philadelphia Christians. Talk about the church, the way they were enamored with the Eagles. And it just happened to be the Eagles this year. Next year it'll be somebody else. But what I'm saying is, it's like, wow, why aren't we? We're part of something so much bigger, and yet we don't talk much about it. We, like, don't share YouTube videos about it very much. We don't. Why don't we? And I think, Bruce, coming back to what is the church? Some of it is because I think we don't quite understand what the church is.
Makes perfectly good sense to me.
Well, that's too bad. I was hoping you would ask me some more questions, but that's okay. So we're going to jump right in, and we're going to just, Bruce is going to help me give us a few points of just a few definite kids. Yeah, you got, let them pick that up, Bruce. You sit down right here. There you go. We had him sitting up here for a reason. So, but we just want to take a few minutes to talk about what the church really is, or what, from the scriptures. And one of the things that I still struggle with, how many of you said today to your children or to your spouse or to somebody, hey, I got to get, it's like 3:30, I got ready to go to church. How many said that today? Yeah, a lot of us. I said it. I got to be careful what I say. You know, parents sit here, so, you know, all the good things they taught me, I can expound on. The bad things, I got to be careful, you know, a little bit. So, but they taught me, we're going to church, and we were always going to church, and it's good. It's good to be with the body of Christ, but we don't go to church. None of us go there. You don't go to something you are. And so we came here to meet with the church, but not to go to church. The church isn't a building. And Tom said that very better than I did. The church isn't a building. The church is not. The church is made up of people, but a church is not just a service. It's so many of the definitions, Bruce, that you mentioned here that we think church is. That's not what church is. Now, Jesus never intended to be. And I love Tom's definition. It's made up of people all around the world that love Jesus. And so the church is not a building. It's not a service. It's not a social club. It's not a marketing business. So many of the things we make it to be about, that's not what it is. So what is it? And Bruce and I felt like we were supposed to spend most of our time talking about what it is. I wrote down here, the church equals people. who are in Jesus. Family, body, army, sheep, and bride. And we're going to talk about a few of them. But the first part is the church is people who are in Jesus. And that's a key. To be part of the church, you have to be in Jesus. It's not paying your tithe. It's not even attending a church service like this every week. But to be part of the church, you have to be in Jesus. And I love Romans 8, my favorite, says, in Jesus, there's no condemnation. You know, but outside of that, there is. And so when we begin talking about the church is made up, Tom said, of people who love Jesus. I'm saying people who are in Jesus. And yet so many times we think that it's just a group of people who get together weekly or biweekly and hang out together, have a good time, learn, like you said, Bruce, a few things about God, which is awesome. But it's important to learn about Jesus, not God, by the way. Jesus and God, but that's a whole other sermon. So we come up with a lot of sermons out of this, didn't we?
Yeah.
And so, one on hell, right?
Yeah.
We'll get to that later, but not tonight. So, we want
to brought to you by Brewster Douglas Production.
Yeah. So, yeah, you better put the other disclaimer on that. But anyway, so the church is people who are in Jesus and who love Jesus, walking it out. I'm probably going to start off with academic ones. Can you kids go like that? Yeah. Well, there's this word in the Bible for the church. It's called ekklesia. So when I thought of that word, I thought of like you stick your tongue out and go. So it's like ekklesia. I mean, who wouldn't want to be part of ekklesia? If we get Terry doing that, we know we'll be good. It's not a cat verse, okay? So ekklesia. But in Matthew 16, verse 18, it says there that Jesus said to Peter that you are this rock, and on this rock, I'm going to build my ekklesia. See, I don't want to forget that. So ekklesia. And so the word throughout the New Testament used for the church, and really not that many times, is this word ekklesia, to say it properly. And yeah, hold off on that, Bruce. Sorry I brought it up. But the Greek, in the Greek world, in Jesus' day, there was this idea of what the ekklesia. Yeah, Sia was. And the Eklop, Sia was this group of people in any given city or village or town who were the called out ones, and they would come together. Oh, not all this was planned, by the way. So that one wasn't. I didn't know Bruce could yodel. So that's a whole new one. So there were. In a village, the ecclesia would be these people who came together in an assembly to govern their city or make decisions about their city. So we have, like here in Taylor, we have a borough council. We don't call them the ecclesia. So we don't call them that. We call them the borough council. But in Jesus' day, there was this idea that ecclesia was something that governed any given town, any given city. And you did get that up there. Awesome. Thank you, Jelena. This same thing I don't think is working because for some reason it's not. So I'm going to have you put that ahead for me. But so go ahead and move it ahead to the first slide. Already said that. Next one. I forget what order they're in. There we are. In Matthew 68, it says, ecclesia, upon this rock I will build my church. And so there's this idea that the church, as Jesus spoke about the church, it was this idea of governance. And I don't mean a church needs to be in power in politics here. Just please don't go home and say Doug said that or put it on Twitter or whatever. So, but there is this idea of governance. If you go ahead to the next slide, I think it's really interesting. In Genesis 1:28, when God created, it said God blessed them. This has been Adam and Eve, the first humans. And God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And so, clear back at the beginning of creation, one of our first roles as humans was to govern. It says there to rule over and to subdue. That's a little bit what governing is. And so this idea, clear back at the beginning of creation, and so Jesus comes back, and he's trying to restore all things. He's trying to bring things back into what God originally intended.
Yeah,
so
they were a mess.
They were a mess, yeah. And so, and so he began to... He began to do that, and so when Jesus thought of the church, one of his things he thought of was this group of people who loved him, Bruce, that would, in some level, govern the communities in which they live.
Interesting concept.
Interesting concept. Well, I have a story that maybe will help you understand this a little better. Yeah. I'd be like the story. So this happened about 2 years ago here in Chambersburg. And this is just an idea of how the church was able to govern. So I think it was in the last 2 years, and we found out, most of you know that I gather with a group of pastors and pray together fairly regularly, and we found out there was the borough council was going to allow a Hindu priest to pray to start our borough council meeting. And what was interesting was different ones of us had been going there and praying, followers of Jesus, the ecclesia was going and praying, and so we found out that there was this Hindu priest was going to pray. So we got all fired up about it. So we got, and the mayor at this time was a Christian, was a believer. So we called him and said, can you do something about this? And he said, no, I can't do anything about it. It's going to happen. So we actually met one Sunday afternoon over at John Wesley Church, Amy Zion Church, and we spent about an hour or two just praying this thing wouldn't happen. It was going to happen on Monday night. And so there was probably maybe 15, 20 of us there praying, and we prayed, and we left and went home. And so borough council meeting came Monday night, and myself and Reverend Harper, who was a pastor of John Wesley, I think we were the only two, I think if I remember right, the only two pastors that actually went to the borough council meeting that evening. And so we go into the borough council meeting, and this gentleman was there, and he was dressed, and it was obvious who he was. And he was dressed as a Hindu priest, and so he gets up to speak, or gets up to do his thing. And the most amazing thing happened. He gets up, and he hits the mic with his hand, and it falls, boom, right to the ground. Before he does anything else, before he says a word, falls right to, and Reverend Harper is sitting right across from me, and we look at each other and just smile. And he picks the mic back up, and it does not work. It literally did not work. So he actually had to go over to another, he still said his deal and got his thing done. But because of what happened, we knew, Reverend Harper and I there, and of course we told everybody else, we knew that the pastors of the city coming together say, this, we're not going to have somebody praying to demons over our town. That's really what Hindus are doing. They're praying to demons. And so we recognize that even though it still happened at some level, God obviously said, you know what, I'm showing you guys it made a difference. So, Bruce, that's just a personal story of how in Chambersburg here, just in the last 2 years, and there's other stuff I could tell too, where we've seen the church govern at some level or say this kind of stuff is not allowed to happen in our city. So just thought I would share that with you.
That's a good story, Doug. You tell good stories, just like Jesus did when he walked here on the earth. In fact, I read one not long ago. I'd like to share it with you. I think it even comes out of the scriptures.
You think
so? Would you like to hear it?
But is this the one with the carpenter tools?
It is. You know the story.
Yeah, but we're not ready for it yet. I got one more point before we get to that.
All right, well, you let me know when you're ready.
So, yeah, I know you're just eager to share your story because it is an awesome story. One of the other things that we see in the scriptures, kids and everyone, and Bruce, I won't forget you. So the church is the ecclesia. The church is also a loving family. I think that's one of the things that maybe even the older I get, the more I see that. But a couple of scriptures here, Bruce. I'll step back so you can see them as well. 1 John 1:7-8 say this, "Dear friends, I am not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one you have had from the very beginning. This old commandment to love one another is the same message you heard before. Yet it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you also are living it." Next slide, Jelena. "Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth." Next slide as well. So there's this overarching principle, Bruce, or thing that the church is to love one another. And you and I have known each other for about 2 years now, and we've shared a lot of our own stories and what's going on, and we reckon this don't always happen. And probably if I went around here to every one of you, you could give me an example when this don't happen, where the church maybe is not the loving family that we're called to be. And yet, I believe that if the church is really being the church, we are really intentional about what, like, we don't just talk about it, we actually walk this out. And Bruce, if you remember a year ago, I'm not sure you do because of some of your earlier questions, but a year ago, we really felt like God said that we were to prefer one another. We're to prefer one another. And Romans 12:9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, and practicing hospitality. And so this whole idea that we're to prefer one another, and just two quick stories for that. When yesterday morning, there's a number of us got together and helped Curtis and Tiffany move some things. And there was a young man there that helped us. Do you remember? Do you remember the young man that helped us yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Your memory goes, you're not that short?
Hmm.
Yeah, okay. So,
really,
do you remember his name?
I'm really trying here.
Do you remember his name?
Cohen.
Cohen, yeah.
Yeah.
Ready to go, Bruce. Yeah, there's a young man named Cohen that helped us yesterday, and, like, we're so thankful Cohen showed up. I was hoping he's going to be here tonight, but he's not here tonight. But Cohen's a young teenager, and most of us, maybe a long time since we were young teenagers. But there isn't a lot of young teenagers who want to spend their Saturday morning walking in the rain helping somebody else load heavy things. I mean, that's the way it is. Sometimes old teenagers don't either, but anyway. That's not. So it really was so helpful I'm sure he would have preferred to do stuff like play video games or, I'm just guessing, or other things, or watch TV on a Saturday morning besides doing what he did, and yet he chose to prefer somebody else instead of what he preferred. And so if we're going to be the church, like, you know, so many times, Bruce, I know I do, I'll just speak for myself, I make decisions on what I prefer. You know, we had this thing last night where I would have preferred to go to a different restaurant than the one we ended up at, and that's a whole other subject. You know, but I was going off what I preferred. And so many things, we end up in a church, we make things like we prefer. But it don't say to prefer yourself and then prefer others. It says to prefer others.
Doug. Yeah. One of the easy ways to solve that is you just do what I do.
Oh, no.
You say, whatever you would like, honey. Happy wife.
Happy life.
Oh, wow. So I'll take notes on that one. Somebody write that down for me. So the other story I wanted to share just about the church and the church loving, and this is something that just happened to us very recently. It'll be 3 weeks ago this Wednesday that Shiloh had a minor surgery related to his Crohn's disease. And the day before he had the surgery, and I told Bruce I'd probably cry during when I tell this story. And I'm going to try not to, though. But the day before he had the surgery, several of our neighbors started texting us, asking us, hey, here's Shiloh's having surgery. What's going on? Is there anything we can do? You know, people who live beside us on our street. And we sort of were, well, this is, how did they find out? Number one, because we didn't like broadcast it everywhere. And what's going on here? And here we found out very quickly, many of our neighbors go to Falling Spring Presbyterian Church, which is on Main Street right here. And one of Shiloh's, the families that's on Shiloh's basketball team, go to the Falling Spring Church. And so they called their church, however, whatever happens when they do have prayer needs, and they put Shiloh's surgery on their prayer line. And so our neighbors, of course, knew this. And so I talked with, and then Shiloh had a surgery on Wednesday. I think it was Thursday night there was a game. And at the game, I was talking to this father of the son who put this on the prayer line. So they prayed for Shiloh at Falling Spring Presbyterian Sunday morning publicly in front of the whole church. We didn't ask them to. They just did it. They have a session meeting. It's like their elder team. They have a session meeting. They pray for him at the session meeting. There's a Tuesday morning men's Bible study they prayed for him at, plus he put out in his prayer line. And, like, the word undone is how I describe it for myself. It was powerful. And we I was like, in that, Bruce, I was really, what, like the loving family of the church in Chambersburg is getting bigger. It's not just us here, but it's so much, and people are beginning to get this one here. And it's so, when you are part of something that powerful, it does something to you, and you're like, wow, I'm so glad I'm a part of this thing called the church, because they love one another. And so there's just different things that we're able to do there. And so just wanted to share that story to help you understand that that's when we talk about the church being a loving family, when we talk about preferring one another, that's really what we're talking about. It's what it should be like. And we can make videos about that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, so, a family that prays together stays together.
That is very true. You got all the one-liners down. That's good. You know what? I think you're spending too much time on Twitter. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. So anyway, you before I got into the whole loving family thing, you told me you had this story.
I do.
You got a story.
You want to hear it?
I think the kids want to hear it anyway.
Yeah. Oh, no. Sorry.
One of the things I love is being able to tell a good story.
Yay. I'm going to sit down for the story, at least for the beginning of it. So,
the story is about the carpenter's tools. And I want you to kind of imagine this story as we go through it. The carpenter's tools were having a conference on a certain day. Mr. Hammer was informed that he'd have to leave because he was too noisy. All right, I'll go.
Go to Hammer.
Only if Mr. Plain goes too. You see, he's not the sharpest tool anymore. Mr. Plain responded, well, young ruler needs to go if anyone. He doesn't quite measure up. He's a lefty, you know. And he doesn't measure up. Young ruler then complained about Sister Sandpaper, so roughly speaking to others. She's rougher than she ought to be. She's very abusive, very abrasive when she's speaking. And when she is working, she barely scratches the surface. Well, Sister Sandpaper was annoyed at my Brother Saul's comments, always boasting of how sharp he was. Brother Saul, now brooding, deflected the attention onto his brother Level, saying that he always tends to blame others for being unbalanced. Brother Level had differences with Henry Handrill, accusing him of missing the point or even needing other tools. As if he could get it all done himself, right? Henry Handrill wasn't concerned, though. He knew old Clarence Clamp might have been a bit rusty, but he could keep a tight grip on things so the tools wouldn't get out of hand. Now, somewhere in the midst of this, unannounced, the carpenter of Nazareth walked in, hearing the seriousness of the situation. He rebuked them and told them, gather together. I have something to show you all. And he showed them how everyone, including them, had a purpose and how they were each uniquely made to fulfill his purpose. He went on to say that their individuality, their challenges, their effectiveness were his by design, not by mistake. Each specially made to do his work, his will. So the carpenter picked them all up, one by one, and put them in his arms. And he carried them over into his work area, and he sat them down. And he went on to use the hammer, the plane, the ruler, the sandpaper, the saw, the level, the hand drill, and even the clamp. Not one tool went unused. Not one tool didn't have a purpose. After the boat was finished, young ruler arose and he said, aha! Now I get it. Even though all of us are individual speciality workers, we are to be working together in unity with God. I think it means We're all together in the same boat.
Okay, everyone,
let's
in the boat.
No pun intended.
Well, Bruce, that's a great story. Hey, you're kind of handy with tools yourself, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
And, you know, when you're working on drywall, I'm guessing you're using something different than when you're framing out a house, correct?
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah, you don't use the same tools.
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't do that. And
could you see me putting spackle on with a drill?
Well, that could be.
I don't think Curtis would appreciate that.
I don't think he would either. And yet, do you think your tools, like your drill, when you're putting spackle on, feels left out because you're not using it?
No, not at all.
You don't think
so? He knows that it had to be used first in order to hang the drywall.
Now, that's true. But I'm worried. Because first you saw a sign from God, and now your drill thinks. So we're going the wrong place. It's so good.
I didn't see where that was going.
Walked right into that, didn't you? So, Bruce, there's a verse in the Bible that sort of says what you just said there in this story. And it's in Romans 12. And it says, for just as we have many members in one body or a group of tools, and all the members do not have the same function, like all these tools, they all do something different. But you need them all to do the ship you're building. We needed all the tools to build the ship, right?
That's right.
Yeah, we needed them all. So it says, so we who are many are one body in Christ, individually members of one another, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly, prophecy according to the proportion of his faith. And so there's this idea, Bruce, that the church is compared to a body. Or we could compare it. Paul just wasn't a carpenter, so he didn't use carpenter tools like your story. But we all are many different parts of the same thing. And yet sometimes we get jealous of each other, and we get frustrated because maybe we're not being used. Maybe we think we are good at something and nobody asks us to help them, things like that. And yet it's so important to remember that Jesus created this governing, loving family to do things. And we need each different part and all the gifts to do anything. And so referring back to your friend Tom needs many different gifts to get this house built down the street here. Would you agree?
Amen.
And so he needs all those tools to get his house built, correct?
Amen.
Yeah, and he needs people who are givers. He needs people who can work and give and know how to use a saw and a hammer and things like that. And he's going to need people who know how to help people move. I think we're getting that one down, by the way, but anyway. So I think we should start a moving company. What do you think?
It could be Brewster and Douglas Moving.
We're going to have to work with the whole branding thing with you, Bruce, so we'll have to work with that. But the church is a body, and so we're defining this thing, and so we have to understand that the church is made up of all different kinds of people. And it's not just so it can be made up of all different kinds of people, it's because every single one, I think your story said every single tool was needed to build the ship, right?
That's right.
And so, as a church, it don't matter what your gift, don't matter if you can speak, it don't matter if you can sing, it don't matter if you can set tables up, welcome people, be hospitable in your home, work with Habitat for Humanity, there's just so many things to do. We need everybody. Like, we start making a list, it's huge. And you can't do it all, can you?
Oh, no.
I didn't think so. I can't do it all.
Oh, no.
That's right. So, it's good. And so, we need everyone, and so it's important. And so, so that we're a body. You know, Bruce, there's something exciting happening in a couple weeks. Do you know what that is?
No, but I'm sure you'll tell us.
No, my. You know what this is.
Okay.
You do know this. Something's like, so, at least rumor has it on the street, on Facebook, actually. So that's like the new street.
Okay.
Yeah, on Facebook, there's this rumor that you and Jenna.
Oh, I know.
You know now?
Uh-huh.
You're recommitting yourselves to each other,
yep.
Correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's kind of exciting, I'm guessing.
Oh, it's very exciting.
Very exciting. Maybe it's a little stressful?
It might be a bit stressful.
Might be a bit stressful, too. But so there's this really cool thing. And so as you do that, like, it's cool for you. But, like, you have to understand that day is really about Jenna, not you. You understand that, right? Do you know why that is?
No.
You don't know why that is? No. Well, you just told me a little while ago. I took notes. The happy wife, happy life thing?
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah, that one, yeah. So it's good to start out that way. And so your wedding day, even though you guys were married officially a year ago, a little over a year ago now, but you want to involve all of us and have a wedding involving the church. Not a church wedding, but a
wedding. Could you imagine trying to move the building out to Shippensburg?
That would be difficult, yes.
That would be very difficult.
Yeah, we won't want to do that. I'm not doing that. But so on that day, Jenna is going to celebrate being a bride. Isn't that kind of cool?
Yes.
You excited about that, Jenna? Wow, boy. We need somebody. Some of you brides need to work with her on her enthusiasm, okay? So we'll work with her on that. But so that's good. So we'll help out. But so she could be this bride. Bruce, did you know in the Bible that the church of Jesus is called a bride? Did you know that? Like even the men are included in that? How do you feel about being a bride? They think it's funny, huh? If they're in Christ, they're part of the bride too. Even if they're guys, they're all girls. But
okay, yeah, I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
You're okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. He's okay with being a bride, Anna. Okay. So there's a scripture in Revelation 21 that talks about us, the church, being like the bride of Christ.
I know that scripture.
You know that scripture?
I do.
Did you memorize that?
No, I didn't memorize it.
I think you should memorize it.
I've got it in here though.
Along with Ephesians 5.
Can I read this to you?
You can read it to me.
All right, I'll read this to you.
Yeah, I think it's the references there, yeah. Revelation 21, 1 through 7.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud, thunderous sound saying, now the dwelling of God is with them, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the older of the things has passed away. He who has seated on the throne says, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give drink without cost from the springs of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all of this. And I will be his God, and he will be my son.
Thank you, Bruce. So, kids, there's this amazing picture there in Revelation, like, of a bride. It says we're going to be like a bride. But you know what's even cool about this bride? She flies. Yeah. Didn't you hear what Bruce read? It says she comes down out of heaven like a city. That's not an angel. This is a church, not an angel this time. So this fly. So you get to be not only a bride, you get to be a flying bride. That's kind of cool. Yeah. Jenna, maybe we can work on that for, you know, a couple weeks from now and get you flying. So I get a big drone and we can work on that. So, yes, I'm excited about that. So, yeah, but no, it says we're like the bride of Christ, and I don't want to spend much time on it, but for us to recognize that the bride language is used, because I think we all get it. Like, you girls, that's kind of, we all got girls up here tonight. You girls are all going to be brides someday, and you're going to marry somebody who's going to love you a lot. They're going to do everything for you. Yeah, Candace likes that. Yeah, they're going to love you. And in fact, in Ephesians, it says that Jesus loves his bride so much, he's willing to die for her. He's willing to lay down his life for her. And so as the bride, as the church is the bride, we recognize that Jesus, who is our husband, he loves us so much that he would even lay down his life for us. And then we're supposed to do the same thing for others. That's what the Bible says. And so we are the bride of Christ. So that's awesome, Bruce, that that scripture there, it talks about us being that bride. And we all participate in that. And our bridegroom, Jesus, loves us so much that he was willing to lay down. And when we think about being part of something bigger than ourselves, it's just amazing that we're sort of, it's almost like we're covered by this, our bridegroom, Jesus.
And I think it's exciting because it even says that the bride was prepared themselves so that they were in waiting. So you understand the story, so where Jesus said that I go to a place to prepare it, that when I return, you will be there with me as well. Now, you can think about it for a moment. If I was to leave my bride at the altar, well, that wouldn't be a good thing, would it? No. And in the same way, Jesus will not leave his bride at the altar. He's coming back for the church. He's coming back for you and I. And it says that we're prepared. So let us be prepared as we wait for the bridegroom.
Thanks, Bruce. Where did that come from?
I don't know. I was reading. Yeah.
That was good. That was good. Bruce, did you know here in just a few minutes, we're going to have soup.
Oh, I'm thinking about the wedding soup. It's going to be Italian wedding soup.
Did anybody bring Italian wedding soup?
At the wedding.
At the wedding. Yeah. At your wedding.
Well, you got me thinking about the wedding.
Yeah, sorry. Well, just hang on for a second. I'm going to make some soup here in closing, okay?
Okay.
So, how many of you kids like broccoli? Anybody want some broccoli? Never mind. You already touched that one. Like broccoli, okay? So I'm going to put the broccoli in my soup. So I have up here raw vegetables, okay? Anybody like cauliflower?
Yeah!
Oh, Candace will give you some raw cauliflower. You like that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Tessa, anybody like peppers? You guys like peppers? Yeah, Ma, you already had some, sorry. You guys like peppers? I'm going to cut some more of these up here and start putting them in the soup. Anybody like basil? You guys like basil?
Yeah.
Anybody stick out their tongue out, dump some on their tongue? Basil? So, I was thinking, Bruce, about closing tonight, and I thought about vegetables. Okay? Now, these are all raw vegetables up here. And, you know, they're okay. You don't wonder what happens to me when I eat these raw. But probably what happens to some other people in here. So they're raw, and they taste maybe okay.
I love them.
But they just aren't quite the same. And broccoli I can handle a little bit better than cauliflower. Peppers, I like them. I eat them. So have some salt here. Help some flavor. You can do this. And
that's not fair.
You got? Yeah. It's good that way. But, Bruce, when I begin to cut these things up, and I start putting them in my soup pot, and then I throw them on the stove and start cooking them, what starts happening to the vegetables?
They start getting cooked.
I'm asking you, Bruce.
Well, it depends. Are they veggie tails? If they're veggie tails, they start swarming around and saying crazy things.
Work with me here, brother. We're not into veggie tails. So just what happens to the vegetables when we put them in the soup?
They get soft.
They get soft. Great. Anything else happen to them? So
they lose some of their flavor.
They lose some of their flavor. You think so? They lose some of their flavor? Okay. That's why I added salt. So I'll put a little basil in here. And I'll put some more peppers in here too. One of the things that is interesting to me is when you make soup and you make, these vegetables are okay by themselves, like they're edible and you can eat them, but I much prefer them after they've been together and they've been cooked up and some spices added and maybe a little salt added as well. You could add some other things as well and even more vegetables. And Bruce, I would like to think of it as, it's not like they lost their flavor. It's more like they gained some of the other's flavor as well.
Oh.
You get that?
I'm starting to understand.
You're starting to get that? And so by themselves, they're all right. They can do some good things. They can taste good. But when you begin to start to put them together and they begin to spend time together being cooked, all of a sudden, things begin to change. There are different things begin to change about them, and they begin to take on maybe some characteristics of each other, and so maybe they lost some flavor. They really didn't lose any flavor. They just gave some of theirs away. And in return, they gained some from the other vegetables.
Nice.
And so, Jillian, you want to put the next verse up? I think it's the next slide. Next slide. Next is two slides down. Skip the next one. Hebrews 10 says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Bruce, remember the sign you saw from God?
I saw it clearly.
Do you remember what was in the middle?
Yes.
So, if you're this piece of broccoli, you're standing alone.
I want to eat it.
And God intends for you to be part of the soup, right? But if you're standing alone, you're missing. And what I like to think of is, so many times, is when you're not in the soup, so to speak, and you're missing, not only do you miss out from all the other flavors and all the other good things that are happening in the pot together, but the pot misses out. Like, it's not just you missing out when you're not in the pot, because you're the broccoli, remember? You got that? So you're the broccoli, you're missing out, because you're, let's pull you back out.
Oh!
There you go. Pull you back out. So when you're out here all by yourself, you're missing what's happening in the pot. You're missing being flavored. You're missing being cooked. You're missing in so many things. And but the reciprocal thing is, the pot's missing you.
I never thought of it that way.
And so when God gave you this sign, this church, you are, because you are the church when you're in Christ. And he intends for those of us that are in Christ to spend time together.
So I got it. So you are in the church, as in the people.
Yeah, it's coming.
Hey, do you think I can get my money back for this?
I don't know. You're going to talk to Brian about that one.
Okay.
Yeah. So you want to flip the last slide up. Actually, just go roll through it. So as Bruce said, we are the church. And we really want you to walk away with the understanding that it's not a service of building. Overflow is not a church. It's we are the church. So let's be a governing presence. Like, let's change things in our city. Let's be a loving family to one another. Let's prefer one another. Let's be a body and be willing to be used in many different ways. Let's be a bride. Let's be present with one another. And when we're present with one another in the soup, it really draws the flavor out of all of us, and it draws the flavor out of each one of us. And so Bruce, thank you so much for just sharing tonight. And I want you all just sort of to look around. Just look around and look at everybody. Like, look them in the eye. That'll scare them. Just look them in the eye. Yeah. Look them in the eye. And when we recognize that we are the church, and when you you're part of the church, not because you show up here, but because you're in Christ, number one. Got that, Bruce? But then together, we begin to make this, and I'm just using soup tonight, we begin to create this soup. It's this amazing thing. That by ourselves, up here on this table, it's edible, but much preferred in soup. So let's all stand. Let's stand. You're standing? You are standing. Stand. Father, we just, we love you. We love you, and we are excited to be your kids. We're excited to be your bride. We're excited to be your governing presence. We're excited to be a loving family. We're excited to be present with one another. God, I pray that you would just give us each individually, Lord, as well as corporate, a vision that we are the church. We are the church. So we're going to close like this. I'm going to separate you guys right down in the... I'm going to separate you, but Maris, you're going to be this way. Dave and Toria, go that way. Jelena, you get to decide how to sit right here, from here over, okay? So I have to get this in you tonight. So if you ever go to a Penn State football game, half the stands will say we are,
The other hands will say Penn State. So we're not going to do that tonight. So this half is going to say we are, and this half is going to say the church, okay? So when I do this, I don't have the cheerleading pom-poms to do it, but when I do this, you guys are going to say we are. Anna, you're going to say we are. And you guys are all going to say the church.
Church.
And you guys got it, right? Okay, so you guys ready? Actually, yeah, Bruce, you up this side over here. Here we go.
If you really want to show how much, raise your hands and shout it out, right? Because that's what we are.
So here we go.
We are
the church!
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 That's good. God, we just thank you that we are the church. And Lord, as you created us to be the church, and you created us to be a powerful presence of you and a fragrant presence of you here in our community. And so, Lord, as we continue to walk out what you've called us to, give us greater and greater revelation of what it means to be the church. And, Lord, I pray that each one of these young children, Lord, each of these teenagers, Lord, as well as those of us who are older, God, will just realize from tonight on that we are the church. And this is an incredible opportunity to be part of something so much greater than ourselves, so much greater than a football team, so much greater than things we often attach ourselves to. But we are your church, and we love you, Jesus, because you're our bridegroom, and you're coming back for us. So, God, we just, we seal these things in your name, Jesus, and your name, amen. So we'll get some soup out here. Some good soup. Yeah, the tools will burn the table. And Bruce and I will be up and around here. Anybody wants prayer for anything, we'd love to pray with you. And, so have a great week. And life group here on Tuesday night at Bill and Carrie's on Wednesday night. Those that want to go to a small group, so. My husband and